That's b'oirer. If right away, right after we made the kinyan, he started to argue and say, nothing doing, I want back my portion. So right away he starts to argue, we see he never really meant to give it away. I will be oimid. Let's say, no, a day passed by, 2 days passed by, and he didn't complain yet. At first on the third day he starts to complain, says he wants to share back. Then I'll tell you, then Rav Nachman's svar applies. That since he kept quiet for a day or two, he really meant to be machna to give it away for a present. And the reason why he's changing his mind after 2 or 3 days is because people talked him into it. People told him, look, what do you do to yourself? You own the property, you were a shutif, and you gave it up, what do you do? So then it's mistavar of Nachman Svara to say that when he made the kinyan, he really meant to give it up. He really meant now to make a maisa maton, like a maisa kinyan, to give up his share. That's the way Abaye wanted to say. Is Omar Amemar, so Amemar said back, he should know Hilchasa. What's the halacha in all cases? Like Rav Nachman, that migufa shel karka kona miyodoi. No, in all cases, whenever the person made a ma'aseh kinyan chalipa now, after he said these words of yodoi mislekeh semenu, ein li esek bo, which is no good, but now if he goes and makes a ma'aseh kinyan a chalipin, that is good. We say he needs to give up his right to the gufa, the karka, to make a ma'aseh kinyan now, and therefore, the kinyan is chal, he's no more partner in the property anymore. Omalei Ravashi, so Ravashi said back Lameima Tarmeima. Ba'oiver, oibi oimid, what do you mean to say? Do you mean to say, even in the case where he argues right away, and that's not like Abaya? Oibi oimid, maybe you mean like Abaya only in the case where he kept quiet for a day or two. Then we see he really meant to give away it for a kinyan. And Lameina Afkimina, what's the difference? Look at Rabbi Yosef, like Rabbi Yosef. That there would be a case, in other words, ba'oiver, where the person complains right away, then the law would be like Rabbi Yosef. To say that he did not really mean to give away the kinyan. He only meant to be mechazik his dibur of yodi mislekes emenu. And that's why he argued back right away to say, I never really meant to give it away. So that's what he asked back to Amemar, what did you really mean to say? Is omalei, so Amemar answered back, le shmili. Like I did not hear what Rav Yosef said. Kloimar, le svirli, I don't hold from Rav Yosef at all. In other words, he passes like Rav Nachman, that at any time, even though first he's the shutif, the partner, first said the lashon of yodai mislekes emenu, ein li yesek bo, but then if he goes to make a ma'aseh kinyan, by making the kinyan that shows he really wants to give it away for matana, then the matana is chal. And if he wants to retract later, he has no right. He has no right to be chayzer. He gave it away for a present, the matana is chal. Yeah. Then the Mishnah explains, then the Mishnah says, Vaitim came lo makos of lo. Like, once you're telling me that even though the husband writes, Dinu Dvor Mein Libin Echsecho, and we're saying now he wrote it, Ba'i Darusa, so it means something, that he's giving up his rights to receive the Tekonas Chachamim, even though it's not a strong lashon of a matana, it's good. So the Mishnah says, but still the husband has a right to eat the Paris, and still he yashins his wife. So the Mishnah says, Cain, if so, for what purpose did he write it? In other words, what schus did he give up? So the Mishnah says he gave up the rights, that if she sells it now, gives it away from Matana, the sale is good, or the present is good. Now the Mursa Kasha retain Malay. Why can't the wife tell the husband, you should know, Mikol Mili Salikto Nafshecha? Now from everything you took your rishus, your possession away. In other words, the wife now has the shtar. She has this document saying that the husband took away his rights from her property. So why can't she say to him, listen, you took away your rights from everything. To start with a general way of saying that you don't want anything to do with her property. So why can't she say, listen, you should not have a right anymore to eat my fruits. You should not have the right to yashin me anymore. Why can't she say that? So the Gemara says, Amar Abaye, Abaye says, Yishno, the klal is that yad bal hashtar ala tachtoina. When you have a shtar, like here the wife has a shtar, that she wants to take away something from somebody else, whenever you're going to collect something with a shtar, take away from somebody else, you could only take away or get from somebody else what it says exactly in the shtar. If we have a doubt what it means, you always lose out. We always say in our suffix it means the least amount you have, the least rights you have to take away. Zero doesn't say exactly clearly what which rights the husband gave up in her property. So therefore when she comes to complain and says he gave up all his rights, we say, no, it's only the least right that he has. That's what he meant to give up. Because she is coming to take away from him his rights. So it has to say clearly in the shtar. All it said in the shtar was, Dinu Dvorm Ein Libin Echsecha. I don't want to have to do with your property. Now, exactly what's part of the property, he didn't say. So therefore, she could only take the least amount, that the least rights that he has. So therefore, Marishma, the least rights that he has is this right, that if she goes and sells it, gives it for present, it's not chal, the present is no good, so that right he gave up. Therefore we say, if she sells it, gives it away for present, the sale is okay, or the present is good. That's Pshana Mishnah. So the Mari asked the question, why? Why don't we say the least rights he has is to eat the fruits? But that doesn't have to do with the goof of the karka. The other two things have to do with the goof of the karka. The Yerusha, eventually you're going to yashin the capital, the property itself. If she sells it, you lose out the property itself. So why don't we say those two things he means to keep? He only meant to give up the rights of the fruits, which is not so bad because he'll always have the capital there. So Rabbi says, no, the svar is boitzino tav mikro. There's an expression to say that a small pumpkin is better than a big pumpkin. If you have a small pumpkin on hand that's usable right now, it's better than a big pumpkin out in the field he can't use right now. So in other words, what it means to say is the inyan that the husband eats the fruits of her property, that's something that he sees and has right now. He has the fruits, he has what to eat, he has something. So that he doesn't give up so fast. That means much more to him. Therefore, for sure, that would be the last thing he would give up. For the Morvian, if so, let's say Nirusha, maybe the husband gave up the rights of yashning his wife, like he doesn't think his wife is going to die. It's not so shchir for his wife to die. So why do you say the least thing that he gives up is her rights to sell it? Why don't we say he gives up his rights to yashin, to inherit his wife? So Rabbi says, the svar is like this. I tell you, miso shchicha mechiru lo shchicha. Mises Moshkiach happens more often than the case that a lady, your wife, would sell her property. Why? Well, since when a person gives up his rights, I tell you, Mimilsad Loshkiach. He gives up his rights from something that doesn't happen anyway. It doesn't happen too often. So therefore, he feels like he's not giving up so much. In other words, not a derech, it's not a manner for a lady to go and sell her property. And the frat here is the property from the Beis Aviho. As the property she inherited from her father, usually a lady does not want to sell these things. So it's no shchiach at all that she should want to sell it or give it away. Therefore, the husband feels pretty secure that she'll never do it. Therefore, he feels that's the least that he's giving up. But rather, mi milsa de shchiach. Rather than milsa, that shchiach is le mesalak inish nashi, that you don't give up your rights so much. So mashm, it's more shchiach, it could happen faster, that your wife will die, then your wife will sell her property. Therefore, the husband did not give up the rights to yashin his wife if she dies, but rather the least that he's worried about is to give up this rights, that if she sells it, or if she gives it away, the sale is good. Rav Ashi is another pshat. Rav Ashi is a pshat. Now, Mishnah is like this. Not only because Yad Balashtar Al Tachtoina, but rather it says that's clearly what it means in the Shtar itself. Rav Ashi Yama B'nechsecha. He said, Yodi Mesalek, Ainli, Lashon was Dinu Dzvorim Ainli B'nechsecha, in your property. So we darshin V'loi B'perusayim. He didn't mean to give up the rights to eat the fruits. He only said B'nechsecha in your Nechosim, and B'nechsecha means V'loi Liachamisa. Mashma, when it still belongs to you. That's what I'm giving up my rights, the actual property when it still belongs to you. But after she dies and it doesn't belong to her anymore, then he never gave up those rights. So therefore, the Yerusha, the husband still keeps. The Peris, the husband still keeps. The only thing he gave up, the only power that he had, that he gave up, was the fact that B'nechsecha, the actual property itself, if she wants to sell it, it's okay, the sale takes place. But more than that, he did not mean to give up. Rabbi Yehuda says, the Olam Mo'oicha Periperis. Rabbi Yehuda says, even in a case where your husband says, I don't want to have to do with your Peris, so Tanakhama says the husband cannot eat any more fruits. Rabbi Yehuda makes a difference, but you should know, Periperis, the second degree of Peris, that you are still allowed to eat. So Tana Rabbanim, we don't know that the Bryce explains, Elu Hain Peris, the Elu Hain Periperis. What's considered Peris itself, that the husband gave up the right not to eat? And what's considered peirik peiris that we say the husband did not give up his rights to eat? So a case is like this. A regular case that she inherits her father, she brings in karka. The yosa saw peiris. And her first, the karka, the property, produces fruits. Harei hain peiris. The first fruits that grow off her property, that's called the peiris. And if Lozbin gave up his rights, he can't eat these fruits anymore. Morcha peiros, let's say there were a lot of peiros, a lot of leftover peiros, too much, she couldn't eat them all. So she sold them. And with the money, v'lochach me'an karka, she bought property. V'yosos, the peiros, and now these karka, this property, produced more fruits. That's called harehen peiros. That's called peiros. That even though the husband gave up the rights to eat the first fruits, what she has to do now is sell the fruits and buy karka. And what grows off this karka, the husband is allowed to eat. Until he writes that I don't want to have to do with peiros, peiros, adoilam. So now the Gemara is Masupik. Iboiliu, we have a question like this. The Rebbe Yehuda, according to Rebbe Yehuda, peiros dafka, is it enough that the husband says I don't want to have to do with your peiros and with the peiros, and you don't have to say adoilam? Or maybe, oiduma, maybe adoilam dafka, that the main thing is you have to say forever. It's not enough just to say you don't want the peiros. But you have to say ad olam. Oiduma, maybe tavayo dafka. Maybe you have to say both of them. You have to say, dinu dvorim ainli b'nestecho v'peruseim v'peruseim ad olam, like our Mishnah says. Maybe you have to say all these three lashonos. And now the Gemara will explain what the tzadim, what the tzad to say, why should you have to say that you have to say all three of them. Mostly like this. Im tim slim, if you want to tell me, peruseim dafka, that's enough just to say, that's enough. You don't have to say adolam. So maybe you could ask the question then, adolam lomali. So why does the Mishnah write adolam forever? So I tell you, that wouldn't be a kasha. I tell you, hokamashvalon. This is what the Mishnah means to tell us. That kivon, the cost of law, peri peris. As long as the husband wrote in the shtar, I don't have to do with your peris. And peri peris, you should know, command the cost of law, adolam domi. It is as if he wrote adolam, it's as if he wrote that he's not going to have anything to do with it forever. So it's enough really just to write peri-peris. And that includes adolam. So therefore, maybe that's all you have to write. It's just, I don't have to do with your peris and peri-peris. Now, v'yim tim slon, if you want to tell me no, that adolam dafka, the main thing you have to write is forever. And if you don't write down forever, then the husband is allowed to eat the second degree or third degree of peris. So peri-peris lomali. Why did the husband have to write the word peri-peris altogether? Let him just say, dinu dvor meindi b'nechsecha b'perisayim ad olam. What does he have to put down? The peri-peris. So, I'll tell you, Lomali, the Gemara says, no, hokamashmalon. This is what the Mishnah meant to teach us. That I forgot the cost of la peri-peris. Even though the husband wrote, I don't have to do with your peris and peri-peris, you should know, he cost of la ad olamin. If he also writes forever, then he can't eat anything. But Eloi, if he doesn't write it, Eloi, if he doesn't write Adolam, then I will tell you all he meant to say is he can't eat the first peris, and not the second peris. But maybe the third and fourth and fifth peris, maybe he could eat. The third peris in the exact same case. The second property she ate, there was leftover fruits, they sold it, she got more money, and she bought new karka. Could happen a fourth, fifth time. So if he doesn't write Adolam, it could be he's allowed to eat after the third time, after the fourth time. So maybe after that Adolam, maybe that's the main thing. Alright, turn over. Now, the third side was, V'yim tim tzulam, if you want to tell me, Shino, that Tabayo Dafka, that really you have to say both, Perit, Perit, and Adolam. So maybe you could ask me, Tati Lomali, what kind of svar is that? Why should you have to write down both? So I'll tell you, yes, Tzricha, there's a reason why you should have to write down both. The cost of law, peri peris, for the cost of law, adolam. His husband only wrote, I don't want to have to do with your peri peris, the second degree. And he did not write forever. Havamina, I would have thought that peri peris, who the law yochel? He can't eat the second degree of peris that he can't eat. Ah, well, peri, the peri peris ochel, maybe the third degree. When from the second property she bought, also she has leftover fruits, and she sells them and gets money, and buys a third karka, maybe the fruits of that third karka, maybe he could eat. Therefore, the husband has to write, clearly, forever, I'm giving up my rights to eat your fruits forever. Now, because of law adolam, if the husband would only write the words, I'm giving up the rights to eat the fruits forever, for the cause of law periperis, he would not eat the word, write the words of periperis. Havamina, I would have thought like this. He only needs to say, I'm giving up the rights to eat the first degree of fruits forever. But maybe a second degree, that's like a new parsha. If For that he never gave up. Loch Yitzrach Pera Peres. That's why the husband maybe has to write even the words of Pera Peres. So we see he's not only talking about the first degree, he's even talking about the second degree. And now if he writes Adoylom, then for sure it means Feather. That's why we have still a doubt exactly what's trying to be used in the Mishnah. Which way do you have to write? What's the main point? Is Pera Peres alone enough? Is Adoylom alone enough? Or maybe really you have to have both of them? And the Gemara explains all the reasons why each one of these, and the Gemara doesn't come out to an answer. For it really applies by Shiloh, what exactly is Badach according to Rabbi Yehuda? Now the Gemara comes out to Shiloh, Boy Lihu. Kosav lo dinu dvorim ainli b'nechsecho uvetere peres, vetere peres. The husband writes to his wife, again like our Mishnah, Boy darusa, well, they only had erisin, that I don't want to have to do with your property, and Peris, I don't want to have to do with the second degree of Peris. But he did not mention Uva Perisayim. He did not talk about the first degree of the Peris. He did not give up his rights, clearly, that I'm not going to eat the fruits that grow out of your property. As only Mashmi said, I'm giving up the rights to eat the fruits that grow out of the second property that you buy. Says, so, Mahu Sheyecho Peris, is the husband allowed to eat the fruits that grow out of her property? What's the doubt? Maybe, well, like he said, he only gave up his rights not to eat the second akaka from the second property, not to eat its fruits. But from the first property that she really yashin from her father, that property, maybe she never gave up the rights. He never gave up the rights to eat the fruits. He only said peri-peris, but not mi perisayim. Or Dilma, maybe no. The other side of the doubt is. Mikol mili solak nafshe. No, still, what he meant to say by peri-peris is a shortcut. For sure, he meant to give up his rights to eat the peris. Just a shortcut to say, I'm giving up my rights to eat everything. Not only the peris, even the peri-peris. And maybe for sure, the husband also meant to give up his rights of even eating the fruits out of the property that she really yashins from her father. So that's the shiloh. So Gemara says, pshita. There's no question, like for sure, that the Mikol Mili Solak Nashe, for sure the husband gave up his rights from everything. Why? Diyam Ritmi Peri Peri Solak Nashe, if you want to tell me you only gave up his rights to eat from the fruits, I would tell you, from Mi Peri Peris, he only gave up his rights to eat from the second degree, from the second land that she buys. But Mi Peri Lo Solak Nashe, if you want to tell me from the first property that she inherited from her father, those fruits he does not give up, the question is, kivun the achlinu le peris, if the husband has the right to eat those fruits, so he eats all the fruits up. So if so, peri peris mecha, where do we have the case now that she buys a second property? The old case was that there's leftover fruits, where the husband does not eat the first fruits, so she sells them, and with the money she buys herself a new property. But if you tell me the husband has the right to eat all the fruits that grow out of her property that she inherited from her father, so there's no money left over. So there's no way for her to get the second property. There's no way to have peri-peris. So what do you mean the husband's saying, I'm not going to eat the peri-peris? It never comes about. So for sure what the husband meant to say is, I'm giving up my rights for more the peris. Some rest says, no, that's not a kasha. Well, the time, according to your reasoning, ho de tana, that we learned. Rabbi Yehuda Reimer, liyoy lo muwaycho peri-peris, he could always eat peri-peris, until he says clearly, he's giving up his rights for peri-peris. In other words, even though he gave up the Mishnah, he the first case is where the husband gave up his right not to eat the peris. Still it says what? If you hold that he's allowed to eat the peri-perisayim? So the question is, kivun the achlin le peri, since lemaisa, the wife, has the right to eat his peris, so if she eats up the peris, peri-peris mecha, where is the peri-peris? Like it's a kashan and Rabbi Yehuda. How does the wife have money again to sell, to buy a new property? Like Lechura, even though the husband gave up his rights to eat the fruits, so if he doesn't eat it, she's going to eat it. For Lechura, she's going to eat all the fruits. So there's going to be no money left over. There's no way for her to buy more property. So what does Yehuda mean to say that from the second property that she buys, those fruits he's allowed to eat? Ella, what do you have to tell me? Bidishaira, Poshet, they were talking about, she inherited a big orchard from her father. That it gives off a lot of oranges, a million oranges, and she can't eat them. So even though she has the right to eat them, she could eat a certain amount, but the leftover she sells, and with that money, she buys property. So I'll tell you, Hachinami b'dishayir, even if you want to tell me the husband has the right to eat the peris, the pshat is he could eat as much as he wants, But let's say, like we said, there's a million oranges there. So then we say the leftover oranges that he cannot eat, that he's supposed to sell. And the money, she's supposed to buy more property. And from that property, he could also eat Paris. So that's the case, you would have Paris. So if it's possible to say the husband only meant to ask her the Paris, but not the Parisaim. The Parisaim is Larit. And the question was, if he's Larit to Paris, so how do we ever have a case of Paris? The Torah says where there were a million oranges. So even though he's not eat, he could eat as much as he could eat, but the leftover that he can't eat, that he has to sell, and that money goes back to the wife, and with that money she buys herself more property, and that's how we have Paris. Therefore, we're not pushing our Shiloh. If the husband just writes, I don't want to eat the Paris, what's the loch? Is he still not eat the Paris or not? That's philosophic. Then the Mishnah says, Vaita, that Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, he argues and says, that if the husband gives up his rights for Yerusha, nothing doing, he can't be masked now, mashakosa b'teru. So the Torah says, Omer Rav said, that halacha k'Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, we really pass like Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, but Yishnov lo mitamei, not with his reasoning though. Now the Torah explains, what did Rav mean to say? What do you mean to say the loch of the Gashim Megamliel, that if the husband makes it tonight to give up his right to Yashin his wife when she dies, nothing doing. He's still Yashin so, but not for the same reasoning. What's the new reasoning? Elaine, if you want to tell me a loch of Gashim Megamliel, to Yomar im Mesa, Yerushenu, that if his wife dies, still he Yashin so, he inherits her. To love me, Tamei, and not because of his reasoning. Why? Tiyilu Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Savar, Masna Mashkosa Batera, Tanai Batel. Rav Shimon ben Gamliel himself holds that if you make a Tanai a condition against what the Torah says, nothing doing, the Tanai is Batel. Even by a Dabar Sheba Momin, even though there's a Machlokes about this, one of the Yom that says that by money matters, you have a right to be Masna Mashkosa Batera, because it's not worse than a regular Mechila that you're giving up your rights for the money. Still, I'll tell you, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel holds not like that. He holds that a person can't be master mashkosa b'teira even by b'dinei mamnas. So, what do you mean v'loy mitamei? What do you mean not from his reasoning? Tilu Rav Shimon ben Gamliel sava master mashkosa b'teira tonight b'otel. For Rav sava tonight kaim, and Rav holds no that tonight is kaim. So, if the tonight is kaim, why is the loch of Rav Shimon ben Gamliel then? The husband has a right to make this tonight. He should not be able to yashin his wife anymore. I tell you, Ksava, maybe Rav holds, Yerusha Sabad Rabbonin. That the husband yashins his wife is only midi Rabbonin. It's not midi Raisa. The pasuk of Yorush Oysa means something else. It's only an asmach, it's only midi Rabbonin that a husband yashins his wife. And I tell you, maybe Rav holds, V'chachomim osu chizik l'divrayim, Yoysa mishotera. That the Rabbonin made very strong their halachas more than the way the Torah says the halachas. In other words, if it would have been a midiraisa, Rav would really hold, you could make a Tanai against what the Torah says in Dinim Amnis. But since Yerusha Sabal is only midirabonin, and the Rabbonin made it very strong to say you can't annul what we say. If we say the husband yashins his wife, there's no way the husband can make it that he does not yashin his wife. That's the pshat that Rav paskel legashim legamliel. The husband is not allowed to make a Tanai against the Yerusha to yashin his wife, but not for the same reasoning. The Rav Shimon ben Gamliel holds, even though it's midiraisa, you can't make it tonight. And I'll tell you, Rav holds no, that if Yerusha Sabah would have been midiraisa, then you could make it tonight. But the reason why you can't make it tonight, because since it's only midirabonim, the Rabbonim made a chizik l'divrayim. Maybe that's Shan Rav. So this is the Gemara, is that true?